sometimes, you know, like normally when I'm ministering like that as a prophetic psalmist, I'm not aware of anything other than who we are as a church. But that time when I was singing, I was very much aware that that was a word going out to the nations. So I hope we got all that, Lawrence. Did the keyboard do its thing? Okay, all right. We'll see how that works out. Yeah. But, you know, that was powerful because, you know what I said, it's not automatic. The blessings of God are not automatic. God is no respecter of persons, but he's done his bit and we have to do ours. It's like the word's gone out, but we have to receive it. And need does not move God. I know that sounds uncaring, but it doesn't. Because the blind man obviously had a need, but Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" In other words, it's asking in faith that releases God's goodness to us. In other words, Jesus was asking the blind man, "Do you believe I can do this for you? Do you believe in my goodness enough to ask me for that?" And it's in the asking that we honor God. It's in the asking that we honor him. See, it was just automatic. There'd be no honor given. But when we ask, believing that we receive, that is saying, "God, I believe you to be a good person and that you are going to bless me." Well, that says something about God. That gives him honor. Can you see that?
Yes.
Sir.
Asking in our heads or asking verbally?
Verbally. It has to be words because there's power in words. You know, you can think a lot of things and the way you think is important, but at some point your faith must be released with words, which is why the word says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved, you will be healed, you will be delivered, you will come out of poverty and into prosperity. But if there's no confession of faith, then there's no release of it. Yes, your words are absolutely vital because that's how God created anything, and we create our world with our words. It begins in our heart and it begins in our mind, but at some point there must be a release of what we believe as a declaration, and it's not released into the realm of reality until we give voice to it. That's just the way it works. That's how God has made it. That's who God has made us. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know about you, but I mean, I never know when something like that's going to drop out of heaven into my spirit. And I'm going to listen to that afterwards. I often find when I bring something like that, to me it sort of seems ho-hum, but I listen to it afterwards and I think, wow, that was great. I know it sounds like a funny thing for someone who sang the song to say, but I'm just the vessel that it comes through. And when I'm bringing it, I'm not aware of it. But when I just sit and listen and it's ministering to me, then I receive the full benefit of it. And if you haven't signed up to the podcast, I encourage you to do that. Well, if it's God, it's worth hanging on to.
Amen.
If God said something, I want to keep that. I want to listen to that again. And I want to get my spirit around that. Because, you know, we created an environment. We do that with our worship. That's what makes us so unique. That's what makes our worship services so powerful. We don't just sing songs. We create an environment for the presence of God to inhabit our meeting. You know, and in that environment, faith is released. And, you know, it's our job to get what God has for you to you. And we do that by creating an environment of faith whereby you can reach out. So it's like, okay, it went for quite a long time, but if you were bored during that, then you missed it. Because you're supposed to be actively engaged. You're supposed to be actively connecting your faith with the provision of God. That's all that's for. It's we're just creating an environment for you to touch God. Are you hearing me? Okay? So I trust nobody was bored. Because if you were bored, then you're just a spectator. Okay, but if you're engaged in it, if you're actively, God, this is for me. What do I need from you? What God is saying to you this morning, what do you want me to do for you?
Yeah, sure.
Man, that's a huge question for God to be asking you. I mean, it's not for everybody. It's for him who has an ear. Have you got an ear this morning?
Yes.
Did anybody hear? Because when God says to you, what do you want me to do for you? I sit up and I pay attention. I don't fall asleep during the worship service. I sit up. You have my attention.
Amen.
It wasn't just me speaking those words. Who would come to listen to me? I'm nothing but a loud noise. But God puts people in pulpits, and his anointing falls like it did on Saul. And they said, look, Saul, when the anointing fell on Saul, they says, Saul became a different man. My wife's like that. When she gets behind this pulpit, and for me, it's when I get behind the keyboard mostly, because that's my real anointing right there. But I had a prophecy over me that I would preach from the keyboard. That's what you heard this morning. But when my wife gets anointed and she's sharing from this pulpit, it's like I'm sitting there thinking, that's not the woman I married. You know, that wisdom comes from somewhere else.
And so it's
like Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. When I travel and I go to another church, and I'll be doing more of that as time goes on, you know, the people, they listen to the website, they listen to the songs, and when you go, especially when you go into an overseas country, and when we go to Fiji, it'll be like that, you know, all these white faces, they'll think, oh, gee, you know, you people, you obviously have come from God, and they will get healed.
Yes.
And the God who heals over there is no different from the God who heals here, but the difference is that we are not in our hometown. And the word says Jesus could do no miracles in his own hometown. Why? Because they thought, oh, that's just Jesus. That's the guy we grew up with. But when he went to another town, they didn't think of him in terms of his humanity. They thought of him in terms of, here comes an apostle of God, someone anointed as a messenger of God, and there is power flowing through this person. And they believe and they receive and they get their healing. So when I go somewhere else and I do a song like that, people are just so excited because the word of God has gone forth and they believe and they receive. And I hope that was you this morning.
Yes, it was, Frank. We heard.
Because... Because, you know, I want you blessed. You'll be really glad you came this morning. If they're away, I hope they get this tape. And then they'll have to download the song as well. But it's better caught. It's better being in the environment. It's better to actually be here. Because you're in the environment where you can receive. So Father, we want to thank you for your word to us this morning. And we want to thank you that you have already released. I sense that you have already released this morning faith in this meeting for people to receive the things that they have spoken in your presence. They have possessed this morning. It belongs to them because they wrap their words around it. And you have come for our words this morning. Amen, amen. Now, I'm here to share a little bit of a testimony with you about the power of God's word to perform what it promises. And I'm not sure how much of a series this will be, but we'll just get started and see how we go. We've only got 20 minutes left before the service is up. Come back next week for sure. There's going to be more. But I want to talk to you about the power of God's word to perform. Because he sends his word out and he says, look, I don't waste my words. If I say something, I want to see it done. It's like any king, queen, commander. They don't have to repeat themselves. They say it once, that's it, that's enough. It's as good as done. And the centurion understood that, which is why he said, just speak the word. I don't even need you to be there. I don't, you know, some say, oh, if only Jesus was on the earth today. He is. He's in you and me. But the centurion said, just speak the word. Just speak the word and it'll be done. And God has given us his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. This is the word of God. Now, theologians study it, and it's just a book. It's just ink on paper, and it does nothing for them. Believe me, I spent a year in a theological college, and it took me 4 years to get my faith back after I came out. Thank you, but no thank you. And someone like Smith Wigglesworth, who learned to read by reading the Bible, he couldn't read. One of the greatest revivalists we've ever known couldn't read. And he taught himself to read by reading the Bible. But he didn't need a theological college to tell him what God can't do. He found out for himself what God can do for someone who comes as a little child, reads and believes and confesses the word. There's the written word, there's the logos, which you need every time you read the Bible. You're just getting the logos. But every once in a while, God's Spirit breathes on it. The same Spirit that breathed it when it was written breathes on it again and quickens that word to you. And it's like the word comes off the page. It's like, whoa, that went into my spirit. Whoa, I'm hearing you. Whoa, God is talking to me. That's for me. When that happens, that's a rhema word. And you need to receive that. You need to say something like, God, I'm hearing you. I receive that. I believe it. And read it out loud and say, that's mine. I possess it. Because it's God trying to get something to you. Don't let it go to waste. God says, my word will not return to me void. But it has to be received and believed and acted on for it to produce any fruit. Alrighty, this is going to be a series. Holidays are a time for reflection over what transpired in the previous year and an opportunity to plan for the next. I trust you had a good break, had some time to get refreshed, visit family, get a bit of space in that very busy brain of yours. I shared last Sunday with those who came to our home. Who showed up? Who came to my home last? A few of you here. Okay. Oh, gosh. And I shared a couple of thoughts about leaving the past behind. Regret is a terrible emotion. You can't do anything about the past. And you've got to make peace with last year. Because for some of you, things didn't work out the way you thought they might. Some things went well, some things didn't go so well. And you've just got to make peace with that. Let it go. You can't do anything about it. You did the best you could at the time with the knowledge and information that you had. Often what people do is they look back in the past and they judge what they did back then with the knowledge that they have now. And that's, you're being unfair on yourself because you didn't have that knowledge back then when you made that choice, when you made that decision. That's unfair. You're being hard on yourself. At the time you made that decision, you made the best decision you could with the knowledge that you had and the experience that you had. You can't judge it now. You can't say, oh, gee, if only I'd been back there now again, I could have done that. Yeah, but you weren't. You didn't have that knowledge and experience back then. And so go easy on yourself. Say, okay, I did the best I could and I didn't mean to hurt anybody. And it is what it is. Let it go. Because if you drag that around with you, you won't enter into 2017 with lightness in your step. If you're carrying baggage, if you're carrying junk, and words. Oh, you know, Proverbs says that the words of a fool are a rod for his own back. How many of us have said things we wish we hadn't said, you know, and we're constantly beating ourselves. You've got to let all that go. You've got to forgive yourself. I find Christians are great at forgiving other people, but we don't forgive ourselves very easily. You know, you've got to do that. You've got to forgive yourself as well. Otherwise, you'll be miserable to live with. All right? For your husband's sake, wives, forgive yourself. And vice versa. We need to create an environment of forgiveness around ourselves because that's the only climate in which faith works. So it's really important that we get our climate right. So, okay, last year's dead and gone, and this year's a new year, and His mercies are new every morning. And this is a new year, and God has some tremendous things planned for you. Because the word says, I know the plans I have for you to do you good and not evil. And maybe you don't have them, but God has them. You need to ask Him, God, what are your plans for me this year? Now, I know that, you know, we're not just puppets, and we are supposed to be creative and you know, plan things. But basically, you know, God has plans for us. So it's a good idea to get God's plan, and then we know that's already blessed. Rather than us try and come up with a plan and then ask God to bless it, well, He may or He may not. I mean, He does say wherever the soles of your feet shall tread, that I've already given you and that I've already blessed. But you know, there are plans and there are plans. If God's already blessed the plan, I say, let's go with that one. He says, I know the plans I have for you, do you? That's why over Christmas you spend a little bit of time just being with God and quietening your spirit. You know, for most of us, we are so busy during the year, our spirit is like a pool of water, like a lake. There's a lake in the South Island, I can't remember the name of it. Can you remember what it is? Lake Matheson. If you go down, it's near the Fox Glacier or Franz Josef. I can't remember which one it is, but there's a lake right next to the glacier. And if you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk around the lake, the snow-capped mountains are reflected like a mirror in the surface of the water because there's no wind blowing at that time. And if you take a photo and then turn it upside down or, you know, and show somebody, they can't tell you which is the photo, which is the real mountain, and which is the reflection. It is that accurate. The water is that still. Well, how well do you read your spirit? The Bible says, no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's in him. God has plans for you, and He's put those plans in your spirit, and you should be able to read them. But if your spirit is all muddied, if you've been rushing around, you know, worried about this, worried about, anxious about this. Jesus said, one thing's needful. Sit down. Let me speak to you through your spirit. If you just let your spirit be still for a while, you will see your reflection in the water. And you will see yourself as I have made you and as I have called you to be. And you will see my plans for you in the reflection. It's a beautiful thing. And I believe personally that's why God commands the Sabbath. Every once in a while we should take a rest, like once a week we take a rest and just reassess our priorities and so on, instead of rushing around like chooks without a head on. I don't know if you've ever done that. I mean, we're Kiwis, so most of us have probably had that experience of chopping the head off a chook and watching it go flap, 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 you know, without a head. And a lot of people, that's how they live their life. Flap, 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 like a chook without a head on. It doesn't look like God's plan to me. God's plan has purpose. A chook with a head on. Excuse me. It's So I aren't you glad you came this morning? I encourage you to spend just a little bit of time with God before you get into the year and things. I mean, for some of you, it's the year's already underway. But I think for most of us, we could probably still just squeeze another day or two, you know, where we could just go and sit on a beach or something. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, developing camel's knees. I mean, that was the old way of seeking God. Jesus prayed in the garden, and Adam walked with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. So when I think of developing camel's knees, it's not very attractive. I think that's just a religious spirit to stop Christians from praying. No, go for a walk along the beach. That's a lot more attractive. You've got a much better chance of praying if you think beach. Is anybody hearing me this morning?
Yes.
Okay. And allow God to speak to your spirit, because he knows the plans that he has for you. So make peace with your past and trust God to lead you into his plan of redemption for your life. See, what I love about God's redemption plan is that when Adam sinned, that was the greatest mistake he could ever have made. Now, you may have made some mistakes in life, but nothing like Adam did. That was an absolute tragedy, all right? And he couldn't undo that. But you know, the Bible says that from the beginning of the world, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, God's solution to man's problem was there before man made the mistake. And you've made mistakes in life, and you will continue to make mistakes in life, but God loves you so much that he had a solution to your mistake before you made it. And plan B is better than plan A. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Satan thought, God has a plan for man, and I will ruin that plan. And he got Cain to kill Abel. And Abel's blood cried from the ground, cried for vengeance. And Hebrews says the blood of Jesus speaks better things. The blood of Jesus cries for mercy. But Adam was just a man. And in overcoming Adam's mistake by taking on a sin nature, God shed the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary and got a new plan. The first Adam sinned, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, has given us a new nature. We are not just human beings. We are God-human beings. Paul says in his writing in one of the letters, he says, you know, when you're arguing and jealous and gossiping against each other, are you not mere humans? He's saying when you're behaving like that, you're just behaving like you were an ordinary human being. You're not. You have been spermed with God. You have his nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God in you, the body of Christ. So we have been elevated to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Man, we're in a much better place than we were before Adam sinned. And I'm not saying, shall we therefore sin that God may abound and that plan B will turn out better than plan A. No, you know, there's not wisdom in that. But what I'm saying is that how big is God? Can he make up for your mistake? Can he make up for, you know, what you did wrong? Is he big enough to overcome that? How big is God? Plan B can be better than plan A. The blood of Jesus speaks better things. And I'm just amazed. I hear stories of men of God who were called to do certain things and they messed it up and so on. But then God came and he redeemed the situation. He restored them and he made it even better. And that's just because that's who God is. Because he loves us so much. You know, you can't lose with God. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what bad business deals you had. It doesn't matter what silly mistakes you made. That's in the past. Leave it in the past. Make peace with it and move on. Because God has another plan. He still has a plan. It's called redemption. And he can make it better. He can... That which is impossible with men is possible with God. I shared with a brother recently, I shared my testimony of how God gave me my home. It was impossible for us to have a home. The wage that we were on, I was given a sum of money by somebody. It was just a gift which enabled me to put a deposit on a house. But our income was so low, nobody would give us a loan because you have to service the mortgage. We had enough for the deposit, but there wasn't a bank in Auckland that would give us the loan. They just laughed at us. You're earning that much a week and you expect us to give you a loan? I said, yeah, but we just believe God. And that really goes down well with mortgage brokers. We totally understand, yes. We found a Christian one who did some very creative accounting and gave us a loan. But you know, and I shared with a brother recently, you know, your situation looks impossible. But that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And we limit him. We make our situation seem as though it is hopeless. When we send out the podcast every month, we also write a little article. And it was a Christmas one. And I said, you know, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. You know, for some people it's not ho, ho, Merry Christmas. It's a very lonely time. And... can be very difficult for some people. And I love that Christmas carol. For glad tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. You know, so for some people, while everybody's dancing merrily around the Christmas tree, there's no joy. They need comfort. And so the podcast I put out last month in December was not a ho ho Merry Christmas podcast. It was a comforting podcast for people who need comfort. I don't know how I got onto that, but anyway, at the beginning of every year, I ask the Lord what he has in store, what he wants me to focus on, and what promises he has for me. In the beginning of 2016, the Lord gave me a personal word that 2016 would be a year of prosperity. Outrageous abundance, actually, was the word that he gave me. And when he gave me that word, it surprised me because Pam and I have struggled, like most people, to make ends meet. But that's what I heard God say. And I believed it, and I received it. And I wrapped my words around it. And I said, I don't see how that could possibly happen to me in my situation. On the wage that I'm on, even working at Avondale College, as well as the part-time wage that my wife receives from the church. Outrageous abundance. I couldn't find a grid for that. Therein lies your job to believe. When you hear, when the word comes off the page and you get your rhema, your job is not to say, how can these things be? Your job is to say, be it unto me according to your word. Like we had this morning with the song that came out. And you send out your faith so the angels can do something with it. So, last year was a great year for us financially. We have seen God provide. And to crown the year off, this last Christmas, my brother bought me a brand new car. Yes, I'm glad you're happy for me, because the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. That was very scriptural. Thank you. Yeah, beware covetousness. And it's not your average run around. It's a very nice car. It's not out there yet. Right now it's still on a ship from Japan, but it's on its way. Hallelujah. That's why I sang this morning, you crown the year with your goodness. Your paths drip with abundance. You know, we read these verses, but to be honest, for most of us, we don't really experience that. Because we've always been, you know, I mean, we raised our kids in other people's clothes. You know, my girls were quite old as teenagers before we bought them new things. I've always driven a second-hand car. Some of them, you know, I'm sure some of you can identify, but for most of my life, when it was time to get a warrant of fitness, I dreaded those. Because it would usually mean a bill of $400 or $500 or something, which I could not afford. So you're driving up into the place where you get a warrant, and you say, God, please make the mechanic. You who make blind eyes open, please make open eyes blind. Don't let them see what's wrong with the brakes, which is a stupid prayer to pray, because it's there for your protection and safety. A warrant as you know. My whole life has consisted of dreading every 6 months. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And it's only recently, in the last car that we bought, the old blue van, which is now off to the wreckers. You remember the big blue van we used to have out there? It's the first car. It's not true. It was that we bought the Telstar, and that actually lasted for a couple of years. What an experience to go to a mechanic and say, I need a warrant of fitness, da-da-da-da, and drive away with peace of mind, just leaving the car there and knowing that it was going to pass. Okay, so it's been a new experience for me. Most of us don't know what it means to have an abundance. God is a God of more than enough. My mind is still trying to catch up with the goodness of God from last year. The fulfillment of the word I received from him at the beginning of last year. And I'm simply sharing that testimony because the Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. And I'm not saying everybody's going to get a new car this year. But what I am saying is that God has asked, well, be it unto you according to your faith. I won't take it away from you either. But when you spend time with God, he speaks to you. And that word from God can change your life. It can change your situation. But it has to be a rhema, because there are seasons in life, and what God may be doing in one person's life, he may not be doing in another. And if God speaks a word to your heart, when the word goes forth, it produces the very effect that word promises. And I know Joy had faith for a new car. And I don't know if anyone else got a new car last year. I think you bought a new car. You know, it sounds like it was the year for cars. I don't know. Maybe this year will be the year for houses. Who knows? But it's a year of goodness. I know that. And God wants to speak to your heart something of his plan for you this year. Something of his goodness. And I want you to embrace that and say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. But you've got to hear the word first. So your homework is to get yourself into a place where you can hear from God. But that word will change your life. It'll change your situation. And I'm a living testimony. That really took me by surprise. That was the last thing I was expecting God to say. A year of outrageous abundance. And we have just experienced it in ways that, in many different ways I've shared with different ones, how God has just blessed us. And I tell you what, it takes a bit of getting used to, you know. I'm still adjusting my internal grid. I mean, I started looking for a car about a year ago, and we're going through car sales yards, you know, and the cars were like, you know, 15 grand and 20 grand was sort of getting up there. It was about the maximum that we could afford. And then one day we accidentally kind of strayed over into the new car division, and I didn't know it was the new car division. And I said to him, "Oh, honey, this one looks nice. This is the one. This looks better. This is the sort of car we're after." And then I look at the price tag and I thought, "Oh, you idiot, you know, 60, 70 grand. I felt so stupid. And then I realized, gosh, you know, for some people who are, that's not an expensive car. And I straight away I just felt so stupid, and I crawled back to my poverty section of the car sales yard. I'm going to share more about this next week. You come next week, because I'm going to share some more about this. And it all came out of a word that I heard at the beginning of 2016. So Father, right now we pray that your people will hear a word from you your plan for them to bless them this year in whatever area that is. It could be in their family, it could be in their finances, it could be in their home, it could be in their physical condition, in their body. It could be in an area of their soul. They're concerned about something. They're worried about something, and they want to see you come through for them. It could be in the area of an addiction. It could be something that they've struggled with in their thinking or in their body or in their emotions, or some addiction that's just got a hold of them, and they need you to come through for them this year. This year is the year of breakthrough. And Father, we are waiting on you to show us your grace, your provision. And we are going to experience your goodness this year. And somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've only just got started on this message. So I'll be doing this next week and possibly even the week after. We'll just see how we go. But right now I'm just going to pray. Father, I want you to seal this word, especially when I was singing, that people gave voice in the realm of the Spirit. They prayed, I want you to do this for me. And right now I pray that Satan will not steal the faith that came to their heart in that moment. That they will continue to speak the word. They will continue to confess this week what they heard this morning. They will continue to feed their faith, and their faith will fight for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Well, we love you. Sure glad to see you. It's so good to see you. And I trust you've been blessed. Let's have a cup of tea. Love on one another. See you next week.